Hey, everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Tesla Time News.
Episode 444.
On Now You Know. So I know the first thing people think about when they hear the word Tesla is this.
Or this.
Or this.
Or this.
It's certainly not this, right?
But actually, Tesla makes a lot of these every year.
And they're about to make a whole lot more.
In addition to the Lathrop, California megafactory.
And the Shanghai megafactory. Both of which are now aiming to produce 13,000 megapacks this year and quite possibly close to 20,000 next year.
That's 33,000 megapacks.
33,000 megapacks over the next 2 years is 132 gigawatt hours of energy storage, and that's enough to power over 40 million homes for an hour.
And in terms of revenue, that's about $40 billion in revenue.
And that's $4 to $6 billion in net profit.
So let me get this straight. While we can expect Tesla to make, say, $5 billion in net profit from making megapacks this year and next year, to make that much net profit from selling cars, Tesla would have to sell, multiply by numbers, 1.4 million vehicles.
Yeah, everyone always focuses on how many vehicles Tesla sells. So for 25 and 26 combined, we can expect Tesla to sell about 4.5 million vehicles. But they ignore these big white boxes that currently make Tesla billions in profit.
Okay, but this story is called Third Megafactory?
Yes. Last Thursday, Tesla announced that they plan to build a third megafactory.
Where?
This will be built in Brookshire, Texas, which is in Waller County, about 45 minutes west of Houston. The new 1.6 million square foot facility in the Empire West Industrial Park will bring in 1,500 jobs. And in the first phase, Tesla will be spending $44 million on facility improvements and $150 million in manufacturing equipment that Tesla will install. In the second phase, Tesla will build a new 600,000 square foot distribution facility for $33 million.
Oh, this makes sense, because Tesla already has a distribution warehouse in this Empire West Industrial Park. But wait, you said that the new Texas megafactory will be 1.6 million square feet? That's like three or four times bigger than the 440,000 square foot Lathrop megafactory and the 660,000 square foot Shanghai megafactory.
Yeah, could that mean that Tesla is planning to produce 30 or 40,000 megapacks per year there? I mean, what do you guys think? Comment down below. I mean, Tesla hasn't said exactly how many square feet the new megafactory will be, the actual manufacturing part I'm talking about. It's possible that it'll be similar in size to Lathrop and Shanghai, and then just have this huge 1 million square foot storage, because megapacks are big.
Ship them all! We're going to take them out a whole new door!
But why in Brookshire, Texas for the location, though?
Well, Tesla already has that 1 million square foot distribution center there. And my guess is that it's close enough to the ports in Houston to receive shipments of raw materials and to ship out megapacks heading to the Atlantic Ocean destinations.
Having Lathrop to cover the West Coast, Shanghai to cover Asia, and now Brookshire to cover the Atlantic, both North America and Europe, is good coverage.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool location. So again, when we have these earning calls and nobody talks about batteries, it's so stupid because they're becoming a bigger and bigger part of Tesla's revenue and profit, which is exactly what Elon said would happen.
Exactly. And I think the other thing is we don't think about the grid. Like, you at home are probably not thinking about what goes on in a substation, how much all of that stuff costs. You're probably not thinking about transmission lines. You're not thinking about giant transformers that need to be in place at different power plants. So you're not thinking about just how much the grid actually costs. Sure, you get a bill every month, but these megapacks are a huge, huge boon to the grid. Instead of it just being this constant, like, we make stuff and then immediately it's gone. They can make stuff, store it, and then give it to you later, which is, as far as the grid is concerned, revolutionary.
Very true. So depending on where you get your news, Elon Musk is either a visionary changing the world or a reckless billionaire playing with fire.
And with his newfound government position, coverage on Tesla, SpaceX, and the future of sustainability is becoming more polarized than ever.
That's exactly why we keep partnering with Ground News, an app and website that completely streamlines our research into these videos. Ground News was created by a former NASA engineer to help people break free from media bubbles by showing the full spectrum of perspectives on any given topic.
With complete data on the political biases, credibility, and financial interests behind the headlines, we get access to diverse and even opposing viewpoints to better understand the stories shaping our world.
Ground News is how we found the full coverage on Tesla's declining sales.
I wanted to know if this was just an increase of EV competition, the Model Y refresh, or if Elon's public image had anything to do with it.
With one click, we got a quick breakdown based on every source Ground News found reporting on it.
We can even see how much attention it's getting from across the political spectrum and why it's so important to diversify where we get our news.
Their factuality breakdown helps us identify the most reliable information, which is huge as Elon takes on a bigger role in government and the coverage around him only gets more sensationalized.
Comparing coverage, I can see how some outlets framed the drop in sales as a simple market shift, while others focused on Musk's political controversies, while more savvy outlets covered how the new Model Y has led to a temporary sales decline.
Seeing all perspectives side by side made it clear just how much our perception and financial decisions can be influenced by one-sided views.
But if you're here watching Now You Know, then you're already someone who loves digging deeper into stories about Elon Musk, Tesla, and the latest breakthroughs in sustainability.
That's why we think you'll love following your favorite topics with Ground News to track how they develop and find angles you might be missing.
And for a limited time, you can get the same plan we use every day for nearly half the price.
Just go to ground.news/NYK or scan this QR code to get their unlimited access Vantage plan for just $5 a month.
Ground News helps us stay curious, think critically, and see the bigger picture, and we think you'll find them just as valuable.
Thank you, Ground News, for sponsoring today's episode. So on March 4th, Delaware Judge Kathleen McCormick made another Tesla ruling, this time in regards to a 2024 lawsuit from a Tesla shareholder, Donald Ball, who claimed that Tesla shouldn't have been able to reincorporate in Texas from Delaware.
This time, Judge McCormick ruled in Tesla's favor, ruling that it's legal for Tesla to incorporate in Texas.
Did you know that about 25% of Delaware's state budget is funded by corporate franchise fees?
What?
Yeah. Delaware is home to 70% of Fortune 500 companies, but many big companies have been leaving Delaware, including Dropbox, Dell, Meta, TripAdvisor, and now Walmart, along with all of Elon's companies, Tesla, SpaceX, Neuralink, The Boring Company.
Now, why does this judge keep getting assigned to all of Tesla's cases?
Right? Isn't that kind of nuts? I mean, yet you would think that these lawsuits would get randomly assigned to different judges to keep the system at least appearing to be fair. No, in my research, it appears that this is by design. The Delaware Chancery Court is assigning Chancellor Kathleen McCormick to all of Elon's cases.
I guess the reasoning is that she knows the company well.
Knowledge.
The good news is, I think now that Tesla has moved out of Delaware, that new cases will be brought in Texas, where Tesla has reincorporated. So sorry, Kathleen.
Although the other parts of Donald Ball's lawsuit, the mechanics of the shareholder vote and the company's disclosures about it, are still pending. So I guess Kathleen will get another bite at that apple.
And Elon says, yay.
Yes, finally, sanity.
There's not that many judges in the Chancery Court, by the way. That's them. And so I think for years, it was kind of like, hey, incorporate here and we'll take care of you corporations, which I know is bad. Probably shouldn't do that either.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. Delaware set it up so that it was like every corporation in America will set up their thing here.
Right.
Whenever there's some kind of weird lawsuit, it'll come to the Chancery Court. Your favorite judge would walk in and go, don't worry. We're here to take care of you in Delaware. And then they would rubber stamp whatever it is and send you off on your way. And that's why all the companies incorporated in Delaware. And this judge came in and screwed it up for the entire state.
Yep.
And you know who appointed that judge, right?
So Tesla posted this last week. In the U.S., an average of 37 deaths per year are related to heat stroke in kids. That's why we developed Cabin Radar, a 4D imaging sensor that requires little power and can detect respiration through organic non-metallic occlusions, such as car seats. Cabin Radar first row sensing comes standard on new Model Y and Model 3 plus Cybertruck and will be enabled on 2022 or later Model Y via over-the-air update. In addition, child presence detection will soon be rolled out to all vehicles, also via over-the-air update.
Wait, so what are we talking about here? This is like a really complicated tweet.
Yeah, so children's bodies heat up 3 to 5 times faster than adults. So according to noheatstroke.org, an average of 37 children die in the U.S. every year due to being left in hot cars when their body temperatures rise above 104 degrees.
And since 1998, 1,010 children have died of pediatric vehicular heat stroke in the U.S., More than half of these children are under the age of 2.
So Tesla's introduction of cabin radar directly addresses this issue by using a 4D imaging sensor to detect a child's respiration through car seats, even when it's obscured.
Okay, so this is a bit complicated. Cabin radar front row sensing now comes standard in the new Model Y, Model 3, and Cybertruck.
Right, and it'll be enabled by a software update on 2022 and newer Model Ys via an over-the-air update.
And, this is a separate thing, the child presence detection, which can tell if a child has been left in the car, even the rear seats, will soon be coming to all Teslas via an over-the-air software update.
Now, here's the problem, I think, with this post. It's very important, and yet Tesla didn't really follow up on details. I think it's because it hasn't arrived yet. Mm. It's almost like they should have, in my opinion, waited until it was in the car so we could all see how it works. But basically, I think what's going to happen is if you leave your child behind in the car, the app will notify you that the child was left there. And then the next question I had was, could it turn on AC? And after my research, I found out, I think, yes. So the car would then go, hey, it's getting hot in here. Let's turn on the air conditioning. And then lastly, could the car call for help if no one's responding? And the answer to that appears to be yes as well. I'm not sure how you turn all these things on. Like if you forget to turn on these settings, does it not work? Like we need to know that. So as soon as this comes out, first of all, tell us about it and then maybe make us a video contributor story. Don't use your children as guinea pigs, by the way. But yeah, I want to test it out to see how it exactly works.
And what's really interesting to me is that Tesla has all the technology to make this happen. So they have an in-cabin radar. They have a camera in the car. They have an app that's connected to the car. They have air conditioning that can turn on with the car off because it's an electric car. Doesn't need to, there's no ignition. All of this can happen. And I think that it's going to save lives.
Yeah, that's what Tesla wants to do, is save people's lives.
And we've had cameras, we've had air conditioning, we've had phone apps that are connected to cars for years now, probably over a decade. Why is Tesla the first company doing this?
Right, because it doesn't help sell cars for the other car companies. And
wouldn't it?
I know, right?
They just don't think about it. I mean, and let me be clear, in the Ford, for example, our Ford Lightning that we have sold, it used to say, check rear seats for occupants every time you left the car. So the screen would pop up saying like, hey, sir, just check if there's anyone in the back seat. There's nobody in the back seat. There was nothing on the seats, nothing. It would just tell you every single time, which means that you're going to ignore it.
I think it's because people don't want to admit that they might forget their kid in the car.
Okay. Okay,
it's like not a big selling point. I agree. But at the sales showroom, I feel like if it's like, hey, and if you forget your kid, the car will tell you. And it's like, well, I never forget my kid.
I know, but then why have the whatever. I'm just so glad that Tesla's implementing this because hopefully, I mean, you might say, well, oh, Tesla's so special. This might become a standard feature. I mean, the government might even be able to step in and say, like, this is something we're going to mandate in cars. Yeah. It's a possibility. Again, seatbelts weren't a thing until one car company implemented them. And then they were like, hey, you know what? Turns out flying out of the car isn't that safe. I guess we'll implement this. The same thing could happen here. So we've got more footage of cybercabs driving autonomously around Giga Texas last week.
And look, I think there are two groups of people right now. There's people who have experienced full self-driving and know that self-driving cars are going to be the future of transportation very soon. And then there are those who really have no idea what is about to happen.
To us, it's really sad that so many people are in the dark about this because it's going to change life for humanity for the better.
For example, in 2022, the latest year that we have full data for, there were 42,514 motor vehicle fatalities just in the U.S. That's just in 1 year.
Over 42,000 people were killed by cars.
Now, when autonomous cars can drive better than humans, which will be soon, no texting,
no falling asleep,
better vision,
faster reaction times,
and no breaking the law.
Yeah, driving too fast or erratically.
The number of humans that die every year on the road will drop.
Thousands more people will stay alive every year.
Even if that's the only reason why robotaxis and self-driving cars are going to be great, that's enough for me.
But Self-driving cars will also make transportation cheaper for everyone.
Safer, cheaper. But wait, there's more.
Because these self-driving cars will be electric, our air will be cleaner.
Less air pollution sounds good to me, since according to this MIT study, air pollution prematurely killed an estimated 200,000 people every year in the U.S. alone.
Don't forget, less traffic.
That's right. Did you know that 30% of traffic in cities is caused by people just driving around looking for parking spaces?
And so much traffic is caused by accidents.
Which there will be less of.
And looking at accidents.
That's right. Looky-loos cause a ton of traffic.
So autonomous cars are going to mean that we can all get to where we're going much sooner.
And there's so many other reasons why autonomous cars are going to be amazing.
We made a 10-part series called Our Autonomous Driving Future that we released years ago.
But it still holds true today. So check it out. Link is down below.
You know, we had to re-release it because we had released it too early the first time. We released it like almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We knew that this was going to happen and it was going to make a big difference. But no, everyone's like, that's not going to happen.
Can't drive themselves.
There's never going to be a cyber cab.
But Tesla North America said the future is golden and bright.
I love gold.
And this just in, Eric Weinstein posted, driver in front of us center at the moment of being forced by an unexpected oncoming driver over the line at the left to crash into the bus on the right. We did not crash. Thanks to Tesla FSD quick reaction and thinking, sparing us from a head-on collision on Wednesday with the opposing driver over the center divider in the rain. An amazing product sells itself. Thanks, Elon. Note, this is offered freely in appreciation of the above with zero compensation or coordination with Tesla. Yeah, these are happening all over the place. People showing that they were saved by FSD. Quite incredible. Mm. It's hard to put it all together and make like a real data set over it. Because like, how do you prove a negative? How do you prove we didn't crash today?
We didn't crash.
But it's really incredible to see more and more people showing this, that the car is saving people's lives. And Tesla posted celebrating first deliveries of the new Model Y at Giga Texas and Fremont factory. And so many people are going, no, that can't be true. Can't possibly be true that the car's out that fast.
I know.
You must be lying. No, that car in your driveway, Bob, that's not real.
One of our viewers will show it this week. Got his car delivered, and people have been bullying him on the internet about it, saying that it was impossible that he got a delivery.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
According to data from the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Trades, SMMT, Tesla sales in the UK this February were up 20.7% year over year.
3,852 Teslas were sold in the UK last month.
And now EVs account for 25% of new registrations in the UK.
And Tesla now has a 4.6% market share of the entire auto market in the UK, which was up from 3.7% a year ago.
Hmm. I thought demand for Tesla is down globally.
That's the narrative that the legacy media would like you to believe.
But I will say that a new tax is coming to the UK in April, and that is probably why there's been a bit of a buying frenzy right now.
Yeah, EVs have been exempted from the VED, or the vehicle excise duty. But now EVs over 40,000 pounds, sterling, pound sterling, not pounds weight, will face an additional ECS. Or expensive car supplement of £410 per year on top of the standard VED rate, which will be £190 for EVs from that date.
Wow. This supplement applies for the first 5 years after registration, so years 2 through 6, meaning a total extra cost of £2,050 over that period, plus the base VED each year.
Wow. That's a lot of taxes.
According to KEDA, the Korean Automobile Importers and Distributors Association, the Model Y was South Korea's most imported car in February with 2,038 sales, beating out the Mercedes-Benz E-Class and the BMW 5 Series.
And that was the old Model Y. Just wait till the newly refreshed Model Y hits the streets in South Korea.
It's also cool to see that internal combustion engine car imports into Korea were lower than hybrids and EVs.
Yeah, diesel and gas cars made up just 17% of South Korean imports in February.
And Tesla has started posting engineering jobs for new vehicle platforms in Austin, Texas. So is this for Cybercab?
Or is it the $25,000 affordable Tesla with the steering wheel, which they're not going to sell?
I don't know. I was kind of hoping it was for the next generation Roadster.
Make it so.
Wait, you think that Elon's going to make the next generation Roadster before the Cybercab?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be before, but by the end of the year, it would be nice.
Do it!
All right, it's time for the Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup.
So Tesla has announced that PowerShare Home Backup has now been enabled for customers whose solar panels are part of their home's backup circuit. This means that during a grid outage, solar energy can power the home directly and charge the Cybertruck, which in turn can supply power back to the house when solar generation drops, like at night or in cloudy weather.
Okay, so that's Tesla customers who have solar.
Right. PowerShare Home Backup is also enabled for customers using Tesla's backup switch, which is a simpler, potentially cheaper alternative to the full gateway. So for utilities that have approved this use, the backup switch, which is introduced as an option for PowerShare setups, disconnects the home from the grid during outages and allows the Cybertruck to take over.
And then what about customers with Powerwalls and either a wall connector 3 or universal wall connector?
For them, and that includes us, PowerShare Home Backup is slated to be enabled in Q3 of 2025, so July or August or September.
So are we waiting on extra equipment?
No. A Tesla support page confirms that homes with Powerwalls and home charging don't need extra equipment beyond a software update to unlock PowerShare. The delay likely stems from the complexity of integrating Cybertruck's vehicle to home with Powerwall's existing inverter and grid management logic.
So once enabled, this setup will combine Powerwall's 13.5 kilowatt hour capacity per unit with Cybertruck's 123 kilowatt hours, offering seamless backup with no delay, unlike the 3 to 45 second switchover delay if you don't have the Powerwall and you just have that switch.
Right. It's a premium solution for a whole home backup, supporting higher loads. So Powerwall 3 handles up to 185 amps versus Cybertruck's 110 amps.
So that's what we have here.
Right. This has been a dream of ours for many years. You get to leverage the huge battery in Tesla vehicles to back up people's houses.
Now, we worked with our buddy Joe Barletta at Smart Charge America to get our house ready for PowerShare, and we highly recommend them. So how does Tesla's PowerShare compare to like the Ford Lightning vehicle to home?
Well, both the Ford and the Cybertruck have similar battery sizes, but the Lightning's 131 kilowatt hours is slightly bigger than the Cybertruck's 123 kilowatt hours, but the Cybertruck can pump out more juice, so 11.5 kilowatts versus Ford's 9.6 kilowatts, so about 20% more power during a blackout to power your home circuits.
And how about cost?
Cost-wise, Tesla wins. You need a universal wall connector for $595, a PowerShare gateway for $1,800, and that's about $2,400. Versus Ford, you need the ChargeStation Pro 80 amp at $1,300 and the home integration system $3,900 via Sunrun, so that's $5,200.
So Tesla's equipment is about $2,800 cheaper.
Yeah, and then of course there's installation costs of about $1,000 for an easy installation up to about $6,000 for complex installation.
Now, it could be argued, though, that the Ford truck might actually be cheaper and therefore make the whole Ford system cheaper overall, because
true,
you can get a new Ford for like 59-ish, or at least a used one.
Yeah, if you can find one. Yeah.
They haven't been making them all that much, so
right,
they're harder to come by. I mean, if that's your only thing.
Yeah, or used. I mean, they've been out now for like 2.5 years. So
right. But I think that, you know, most people are either going to get the Ford or they're going to get the Cybertruck. I haven't met too many people who are on the fence.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, once you drive a Cybertruck, don't make up your mind before you drive a Cybertruck.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's night and day.
And drive it for a little bit because it's a little intimidating with the steer-by-wire in the beginning, but you'll get used to it.
Yeah. So remember DJ Daniel, the 13-year-old battling terminal cancer who was honored during President Trump's congressional address last week?
Yeah. I mean, Trump made him an honorary Secret Service agent.
Yeah. And I'm not sure which is cooler here, becoming a Secret Service agent or the fact that Elon has gifted DJ a Cybertruck.
Excellent question. And the answer you're looking for lies right here.
So as an audio engineer, I had to include this photo taken at Dream Hollywood in LA of a Cybertruck with a 16-channel SSL mixing console in the bed that was once used by Dr. Dre. Is that so cool or what?
Did Dr. Dre use it in the bed of the Cybertruck?
No, I don't think so.
It was a mixer.
Right.
Somebody bought it. They converted it to be used in the bed of a Cybertruck.
Yeah, I don't know why you have to put it in the bed of a Cybertruck, but it's just cool. It just clicked all my nerd check marks.
Right, absolutely.
Check boxes. Jay-Z and Beyonce took delivery of their matte black wrapped Cybertruck last week.
And we got this picture of Cybertrucks emerging from the cyber tunnel.
I've heard so many people bad-mouthing Tesla this week, like, how come their Model Ys can't leave through the tunnel? It's like, well, maybe he'll build a tunnel for the Model Ys.
Remember when we reported on the Tesla store in Salem, Oregon that was vandalized and shot at on Inauguration Day and then again on February 19th? Well, Andy Ngo has now reported that an Oregon trans activist was arrested for the firebombing and shooting attacks on the Tesla store.
Adam Matthew Lansky has been charged by the Department of Justice with illegally possessing an unregistered destructive device. Oh, it's a good thing I register my destructive devices.
You can own a Molotov cocktail. You just have to register it with the ATF.
What?
What's the number you got on your Molotov cocktail there?
Here, let me read. Oops, I dropped it.
He's also charged of being part of the Inauguration Day firebombing attack on the Tesla store and the subsequent February 19th shooting at the store as well. Lansky allegedly pointed a semi-automatic rifle at a witness during the first incident.
Andy and Go reports that Lansky used the alias Allison Tesla in his activism and pornography work and has been recruiting leftist LGBTQIA plus people in the Salem area to train with firearms.
And Elon Musk posted the double exclamation point, meaning, what?
That's f***ing crazy. And on Sunday, March 2nd, a man was filmed vandalizing Teslas in Brookline, Massachusetts.
What is it? What do you think that means?
I don't care.
Why do you think you have the right to do that?
It's my free speech.
Free speech, not on your car. Oh. Yeah? That doesn't matter. It's not up to you to decide anything.
To do what?
To put a sticker on other people's car.
Is it?
Yeah, of course.
Then take it off. Hey. You guys. You guys can get a better car. If you can afford that car.
It's not up to you to say anything.
I guess we have a difference of opinion.
Even though this man claimed to be exercising his free speech, a Brookline Police Department deputy says this is clearly not free speech. You can say whatever you want. You can't go around damaging other people's property.
And because of the posting on X, it appears that the Brookline Police Department was able to identify the suspect as 39-year-old Harrison Randall from Roslindale, Massachusetts, saying that he has vandalized several Teslas in the area.
Yeah, Brookline PD posted update. Brookline District Court issued an arrest warrant for Harrison Randall, 39-year-old male of Roslindale, and is charged with 6 counts of defacing property. Shortly before 7 p.m., Randall was arrested and booked on the above charges. Bail has been set at $2,500. And Elon weighed in, saying damaging the property of others, a.k.a. vandalism, is not free speech. Yes, that's true.
Thanks for the clarification.
I guess we need to go back to our 7th grade civics class. And Diva Zinniuk said, Chicago Police Department protecting a Tesla dealership.
And Elon said, thanks.
And let's be clear here. There is big money behind many of these anti-Tesla, anti-Elon events. Kenekoa the Great posted, Valerie Costa, the far-left activist behind the so-called Tesla takedown, fueling a spree of vandalism nationwide, proudly admits her campaign draws inspiration from Luigi Mangione.
The guy who shot the CEO of...
Yeah, I guess that's how you're supposed to have justice now.
We can target Elon here because his company, the source of the majority of his wealth, has numerous locations in the Seattle area. And ultimately, money talks. And we've planned, whether it was troublemakers or partners that we've been working with over the last few weeks, have planned multiple actions at Tesla.
TeslaTakedown.com shows their map and events and basically their entire game plan.
Valerie Costa established a company called Errol Consulting in 2011, where she helped NGOs raise money and put on events throughout the country.
And to be clear, most of these protesters are paid with NGO money. Check this out.
Yeah, I get paid to be out here.
You get paid to be out here?
Yeah.
Amazing. With some pack.
You really are getting paid for this?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh. Definitely. 100% I'm getting paid for this.
Now, there are some lunatics out there who may truly believe that Elon Musk is a Nazi, but most are paid shills, paid by the very NGOs that Doge is trying to find and cut from our government budgets.
And just in case you don't believe us, here is a Craigslist ad in the Washington, D.C. area for paid protesters, $40 an hour. Not too shabby.
2 or 3 days of work right there. So, of course, they're out there trying to scare people.
Elon's going to see your social security number.
I saw a bunch of people protesting Elon, so he must be bad.
Get a brain, people.
At Ritual, we know what goes into the holiday season. The potluck planning, the gift giving, the spreadsheets. So this new year, take a moment for yourself with science-backed support that puts you first. So whether you're focusing on supporting foundational health with a clean vegan multivitamin or supporting your gut health with Symbiotic Plus, do it with 30% off your first month at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So this next story is probably going to make our Indian viewers happy. Tesla held their first ever sales recruitment event in India last Saturday for the role of sales advisor.
These new Tesla employees will be working at the soon-to-be-opened first Indian showroom at the Bandra Kurla complex in Mumbai.
So far, no opening date has been announced, but we do know that Tesla signed a 5-year lease. So... soon? Hopes. Anyway, if you see it opening, please send us pictures. All right, it's time for some SpaceX news. SpaceX posted, to meet the growing global demand for high-speed internet, Starlink is expanding its factory in Bastrop, Texas.
So they're making 15,000 Starlink terminals a day.
That's 5 million plus a year.
Wow. And Elon said, that's awesome. It is awesome.
He went on to say, I think this will be the most efficient and fastest PCB line in the world later this year, less than 2 second cycle time.
Holy crap.
Elon Musk posted Starlink starting on United Airlines.
And United Airlines posted the world's fastest, most reliable Wi-Fi in the sky. Starlink has officially landed on our first aircraft with the rest of our fleet to follow. So yeah, 40 plus planes per month will be following this.
Yeah, you're supposed to be able to get it from the gate to the gate. So that'll be really nice.
Do you think you have to pay for it?
Well, it's part
Sign up for a special. Yeah, are you a United Members Gold member?
Exactly. It's one of their membership plans. It's not a bad one, though, I bet, if you're getting Wi-Fi.
That's true.
You're seeing here Botswana's President Duma Boko touring SpaceX's headquarters in Hawthorne, California, ahead of the launch of the African nation's launch of their first ever satellite, BotSat-1, aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket last Sunday.
BotSat-1 was developed with EnduroSat and Botswana International University of Science and Technology and is equipped with a hyperspectral camera payload, which will be used to gather key data on the contents of grounds and soils.
This information will directly benefit Botswana's local agriculture and mining industries by providing insights that can improve resource management, optimize farming practices, and enhance mining operations. And you know, the reason that these countries can do this is because it's so cheap now.
Right. Getting on a rocket was very expensive because they had to throw the whole rocket away. And because Falcon 9 has a reusable booster, that brings down the cost.
SpaceX posted, in addition to continued infrastructure development at Starbase, Texas, where SpaceX is headquartered, SpaceX is expanding its Starship operations in Florida, bringing Starship production and launch capabilities to the Space Coast. So what are we talking about? What kind of infrastructure is SpaceX going to be building in Florida?
Well, SpaceX already started. Site preparations for Giga Bay in Florida have already begun.
Wait, what's Giga Bay? Is that like a new eBay site where Elon is making this so you can bid on like SpaceX rockets?
No, Giga Bay will stand 380 feet tall with 46 million cubic feet of interior volume to support Starship and Super Heavy vehicles up to 81 meters or 266 feet tall. It'll have cranes that can lift up to 400 tons.
Okay, so this is like the Mega Bay at Starbase then.
Even bigger. Giga Bay will have 11 times more workspace and more than twice the crane lifting capability. The construction of Giga Bay is already underway and should be operational by the end of next year. And SpaceX is going to simultaneously be building a Giga Bay at Starbase as well. SpaceX is also going to build rockets in Florida like they do at Star Factory in Texas. This will increase the rate of Starship production because, as we know, Elon wants to produce and launch 1,000 Starships in the next decade to make life multiplanetary.
Wait, so SpaceX will be making and launching Starship from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida soon?
Yes. In the short term, SpaceX says, we will first transport completed Super Heavy boosters and Starship upper stage ships from Starbase via barge to build up a Starship fleet in Florida. SpaceX is building a Starship launch and catch site at Launch Complex 39A at Kennedy Space Center. And SpaceX says SpaceX intends to conduct Starship's first Florida launch from Launch Center 39A in late 2025.
Wait, that's this year.
Yeah.
They're going to barge them up the coast?
Yeah, I mean, why not? You couldn't really put them on the highway.
Like they used to do with Falcon 9.
Yeah, Falcon 9's kind of on the limit there.
Wow. So three locations then, California, Texas, Florida, kind of like with Megapack factories, like they're spreading out. This is great. Less weather dependent. Right. And I think this is going to make SpaceX more mainstream now that it's going to be launching from Kennedy Space Center. You won't be able to ignore it. And then I think we're also forgetting about the intercontinental Starship and going to the moon. I think no one really knows what's going on here. And I think people's minds are going to be blown when they start to realize what is actually happening, because a lot of times you hear about something and then it takes 10 years. Here it's taken 10 years, but no one heard about it.
I think that the other thing that could happen is space stations.
Yeah.
For so long, we've had one space station. Why?
Yeah.
We can have so many more. Starship could really make that possible and really affordable.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the moon hotels. So there's been a lot of controversy about whether, as Elon said on Joe Rogan a couple weeks ago, that he offered President Biden to send a Crew Dragon to rescue astronauts Butch and Sunny.
Some people just couldn't believe that Biden would have refused such an offer, but Elon has maintained that's what happened.
Now, one of the astronauts, Butch Wilmore, has confirmed it.
So my question relates to Elon Musk has said that he made the offer to bring you guys back earlier and that it was denied. My first question is that true? And if so, what would that have looked like? Was he offering to make another flight, push seats on another flight? Could you give us some background there?
I can only say that Mr. Musk, what he says is absolutely factual.
So, yeah, that's what happened. Elon's a good guy. He offered to go help. And now he's helping.
And they said no.
Starship 8 launched last Thursday, March 8th. And Starship, which is Ship 34, encountered a problem where four of the six engines shut down prematurely at T plus 8 minutes, which led to a loss of attitude control and the spacecraft began to spin out of control, which actually was really cool. I mean, I hate to see that happen, but there was, because there's Starlink on board, we could see that it's happening in real time, which was amazing.
Super Heavy Booster 15 returned successfully to the tower and was caught by the Mechazilla arms.
Once again, we're going to ignite first the Center 13 engines. We should see that coming up here momentarily.
Engines in startup.
This is going to come down to three engines as the booster slows down for its landing. And we just heard the sonic boom. What an incredible sight to see the Super Heavy booster gliding down into the chopstick arms once again.
The rapid, unscheduled disassembly.
I just saw that Starship blew up. There it is.
Of Starship could be seen from the Bahamas, Florida, Jamaica, and Turks and Caicos.
The FAA issued ground stops at local airports in Florida, including Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, and Orlando, out of caution, and ordered SpaceX to conduct a mishap investigation and grounded further flights until the inquiry is complete.
Elon said that this was barely a bump in the road, so it seems SpaceX will have answers soon.
Now, it's too bad this mission wasn't a success, because one of the things SpaceX was going to test was the PEZ dispenser on Starship, and they were going to deploy four Starlink simulators, a launch system for the satellites. It'll be able to put a lot more satellites into orbit.
Elon said, rockets are hard.
He said, in fact, one of the hardest technology problems ever, but it must be done. And on March 7th, he posted, it was an upper stage ship failure, to be honest, but we learned a good amount in building the new ship design and flight.
He said, it's not easy making life multiplanetary. Today was a minor setback. Progress is measured by time. The next ship will be ready in 4 to 6 weeks.
And he said, a good chance of catching a ship this year should become normal next year. So I just want to point out, it's now becoming normal to catch the Super Heavy booster, which seems incredible to think of. And then he's saying soon we'll just won't think of anything about catching a Starship. That's amazing. And check this out. Dan Watt, who's a SpaceX employee, said, did not think this shot would exist. Basically the most extreme environment on Earth. But the guys on our team hack stuff together and the end result is like watching an alien mothership leave Earth.
Wow, look at that. And SpaceX posted view underneath the launch mount as Super Heavy's 33 Raptor engines ignite on Starship's 8th flight test.
So, I mean, not only do you get to see it just sitting there getting ready to go, but then just like the slow liftoff. I mean, who would have dreamed you could get that angle? What kind of glass did they put in front of it?
Thick, thick glass.
And I know after looking at SpaceX rockets, it may not seem that impressive, but here is SpaceX's airplane. It's a Boeing 737. SpaceX employee Logan Pierce said, not a bad commute and not a bad looking plane either. Hmm. All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
You want to get the best razor in the world? You can. It's called the Henson Razor. You head over to hensonshaving.com. You can use our code NOWYOUKNOW when you check out. And if you have the box of 100 blades in your cart when you check out, you'll get them for free. So be sure to do that and you'll get 200 shaves on us. Escape into the
future. So back in 2022, Elon tweeted this. A flying electric boat would be sick.
And Billy Thalheimer, co-founder and CEO of Regent Electric Sea Glider, posted this. Elon, we were productive this week. Regent is located in Rhode Island and has been testing in Narragansett Bay.
The Regent Viceroy Sea Glider is 100% electric and is designed to carry 12 passengers and can operate in choppy waters with up to 5-foot waves.
To be clear, this design does not fly in the open skies. It uses flight in ground effect, where it flies just above the water's surface, leveraging the aerodynamic cushion between the wings and the water for efficiency.
So the Viceroy has a targeted range of 180 miles or 300 kilometers using existing battery technology, but with upgraded batteries, they say they could potentially extend the range to 460 miles or 740 kilometers.
The Viceroy travels at speeds of 180 miles an hour or 300 kilometers an hour.
Viceroy has plans to fly a full-scale version by the summer after its smaller prototype tests. Right now, Regent is getting investment from Teal Capital and Mesa Airlines. And that's Peter Thiel, of course. And by the way, when you go to Teal Capital, this is what you get. It's kind of Elon-esque. You just get one page that says Teal on it. There's no menu. There's nothing else.
Huh. HTML was not his strong suit, I guess. And Elon posted, cool.
Cool.
All right, it's time for sunspots. So guess how long it takes in the U.S. right now from when a power utility decides to build a new gas power plant to when it actually goes online?
So you got to permit it. You got to build it. So 3 years, maybe?
5 years is how long it's taking. Yeah, a peer review study forecasts that just AI servers alone could consume between 85 and 135 terawatt hours of energy annually by 2027. For reference, the U.S. consumed 4,000 terawatt hours of electricity in 2022. But get this, a solar farm can get permitted and built and online as fast as 3 months. Now, most solar farms do take a bit longer, 6 to 12 months, but that's years faster than a gas plant. Now, right now, the U.S. grid has about 1,200 gigawatts of installed capacity, and there are, get this, 1,350 gigawatts of potential renewable power projects that are moving through the pipeline, over 10,000 grid-scale power generation projects, and they're broken down like this.
So if these all go online, we would be doubling the amount of energy that we're generating?
A lot of power there.
And all of these are completely green?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, thousands of projects, all needing designers, surveyors, engineers of many types, electricians, construction workers, lawyers, operators, managers, and employees to run the project once they're built.
Yeah. So let's dive into some numbers. Construction jobs alone, 190,000 construction jobs per year over the next 5 years for these projects. Operators, 30,000 jobs likely needed by 2030 to operate these plants. That's an estimated $150 billion a year to our GDP from the infrastructure investment and the creation of hundreds of thousands of jobs. I just thought we should talk about the positive news here, that like these projects just need to be kind of permitted and figured out how to put them on the grid. And then we can get this electricity going really fast, because there is no one predicted that we needed power for AI supercomputer clusters a few years ago, because there was no such thing, right? There were data centers, but now this, like everyone was talking about, oh, crypto, we need money for crypto. Okay, but AI is something no one thought about. And if you want to get the power for this, you can't wait for gas or nuclear. Nuclear, by the way, takes 10 years at least to get online.
At least, more like 20.
So if you want to power these things, you got to start approving solar and wind and batteries.
But the big problem, of course, is that you have to import all of this solar energy, which, as we know, is millions of miles away at the sun. So, yeah. I mean, we're going to...
Oh, and the sun has huge tariffs, so...
Of course. We would like to thank Climatize for sponsoring this episode.
Climatize is an impact investment platform that empowers individuals to invest in renewable energy projects that are raising funds for solar energy, EV charging, energy efficiency, and battery storage.
Climatize has facilitated $7.5 million in total investments, and over $1.7 million in principal and interest has been returned to investors.
To date, 15 projects have been funded through Climatize, and there are currently 2 open investment opportunities.
Their platform is simple, user-friendly, and now better than ever with a new bold look.
Climatize's rebrand enhances the investment experience with new features like an improved investor dashboard, a community feed, and a new tax document tool, all designed to make sustainable investing seamless.
Go to climatize.earth/NYK, set up your account, and invest. You can start with as little as $10.
There are no investor fees. The investment platform is open to all U.S. bank account holders over 18 years of age. No accreditation is required.
Browse through available investment opportunities across the U.S. and choose a project you'd like to support.
Offerings on the platform can target up to a 10% annual return. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results.
Investment risks do apply, including the loss of principal amount invested.
Use our referral code NYK025 and get $25 in free credit once you complete your onboarding process. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, send those to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Matt and Rachel sent this in. Check it out.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. This is my story called The Electric Covered Wagon. My name is Matthew, and this is my wife, Rachel. We lived in our Chicago apartment for 12 years, including through the COVID lockdown. We watched a lot of your show along with Star Trek, which inspired us to embrace a nomadic lifestyle. we sold everything that wouldn't fit into a small travel trailer and bought a 2021 Tesla Model Y, our trusty metal ox, to carry us into a new adventure. We faced our share of challenges, like figuring out how to fit everything into the trailer and mastering the efficient connection and disconnection of a weight distribution hitch. Still, we persevered, practicing until we grew comfortable and settled into the routine of life on the road. Before long, we were traveling to places we had never seen before. We began to truly enjoy our time, focusing less on the logistics and more on the stunning views of our beautiful country. We even made it all the way down to Key West for a memorable night. Our small travel trailer gave us the freedom to visit friends and family across the country. And for the first time, we escaped the Chicago winter. We spent 2 months exploring the southwest deserts of Arizona and New Mexico, where we encountered breathtaking sights and made new friends. We documented our journey on our website, ecoveredwagon.com. Rachel wrote blog posts chronicling our experiences, while I maintained an interactive map tracking our locations. Though our nomadic lifestyle has concluded, we've since sold the trailer to settle in Rockford, Illinois. I'm certain more travel lies ahead in new and in even better ways. Thank you, Zach and Jesse.
Thank you, Matt and Rachel. That's really inspiring.
Mm.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read more of the blog and find out more about how the nuts and bolts of it worked.
Yeah. And if any of you guys go nomadic, please send us some video while you're on the road. I'd love to see it.
All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for the Patreon poll. Has supercharging gotten better or worse?
So in your own personal experience, has Tesla supercharging gotten better or worse in terms of locations and wait times?
Boom, gotten better.
Now, I am curious to hear from the 9% of people who said that supercharging has gotten worse. I'm imagining that this is in very specific, highly densely populated areas where the wait times probably have not been ebbed by the number of chargers, because usually the chargers don't necessarily match the number of Teslas that are sold in very high Tesla density areas.
Right. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the week. Elon said Zelensky wants a forever war because he loses his spotlight on the international stage as soon as peace is achieved. Ukraine needs to hold an election. Zelensky would lose by a landslide. Then Elon posted this. A senior exec at Tesla sent me some funny pics from days in the factory where I was trying to show the construction team day shift what equipment wasn't working and needed to be removed, so I spray painted stick figures on them. The Tesla team did a great job clearing out the broken conveyor system within 48 hours. And Omid Afshar, who worked there during the time, said, I remember this day very well. These pictures are from a Sunday in March of 2018. We were living in the factory at this time, truly 24/7. I feel strongly if we didn't get the push from Elon to clear everything out that weekend, 36 hours was the expectation, we would not have gotten through Model 3 production hell as quickly as we did. Something he tells us often is to use a watch and not a calendar. Hours and minutes count, not days and weeks. In this case, if we had finished in 36 hours and 10 minutes, we'd be late. That level of urgency has an immense positive impact and compounds across all aspects of the business, from manufacturing to engineering and more. The constraint to the entire manufacturing system for Tesla at this time was in General Assembly GA3.
Elon said a very tough time, but now recollected fondly.
Tesla posted cities aren't loud, gas cars are.
And Elon said, true.
New York Post posted exclusive. A private investigator has uncovered evidence that Trump shooter Thomas Matthew Crooks didn't act alone, was part of a criminal network.
And Rosmus posted, the government did it.
Elon said, good chance. Mario Nafal said Senator Blumenthal demands answers on Tesla's Cybertruck purchase.
So this was the $400 million for the armored Cybertrucks that was passed under the Biden administration.
Elon says, so Senator Richard Blumenthal, a.k.a. Dick, really wants to meet big balls? This is too good. Hassan says, it's insane to even think that the U.S. Treasury, that's responsible for sending roughly $5 trillion annually in payments, could process payments without a payment categorization code or even narration, description, basically untraceable blank checks.
Elon said, fixed now. Just basic block and tackle stuff.
Libs of TikTok posted Chuck Schumer, Elizabeth Warren, and Cory Booker posted identical videos, word for word, right before Trump's speech.
Elon says they're all actors reading a script.
Elon then said, who is writing the words that the puppets speak? That's the real question. And who told them all to hold the microphone like they're a teenager doing TikTok videos? Now we're up to 22 Dem senators all doing the same cringe video simultaneously. I will buy a Cybertruck for anyone who can provide proof of who wrote this particular piece of propaganda. First person to post proof in the replies to this post gets the truck. And of course, Data Republican did win it, but she said she didn't want it. Elon said, how many of the puppets below have a picture with Soros? High correlation, I bet.
Bogtrotter found all those pictures and posted them. And Elon said, yep.
And then this meme, want to spread propaganda, but thesaurus too far? 23 Dem senators too lazy even to reach for the thesaurus. A lot of people need to move from low to negative productivity roles in government and some in industry to high productivity roles in the commercial sector. This is temporarily disruptive, but ultimately for the best. Nick Cruz Pantane says, optimists must have an unhinged mode.
Elon says, be careful what you wish for.
Elon Musk posted, the president was kind enough to lend me a tie. And that's true, actually.
Did he?
Yeah. He was going to go without the tie. And Trump said, I think he should wear a tie. Elon said, there's way too much hate coming from the left, not even cheering for a kid who survived brain cancer. That's cruel. Doge posted, HUD completed the same audit, initial findings on paid software licenses, 35,000 ServiceNow licenses on 3 products, only using 84, 11,000 Acrobat licenses with 0 users.
Elon said, there are vast numbers of unused software licenses in every part of the government. Your tax dollars are being wasted.
Elon went on to say, allowing government-funded non-governmental organizations, which is obviously a contradiction in terms, is a crazy flaw in the system enabling massive fraud that is extremely hard to trace. Big time. The Democrat government-funded NGO scam might be the biggest theft of taxpayer money ever.
And you wonder why Tesla Takedown is being run by a lady who used to run NGOs.
Tara Bull says, Elizabeth Warren's salary, $285,000 a year, net worth $67 million, wants to stop you from finding out where your money goes.
Elon says, where did Senator Karen get $67 million?
Elon posted, Starlink is not allowed to operate in South Africa because I'm not black.
Doge Designer said, South Africa may not allow Starlink to operate, but they can't stop people of their country from seeking the truth. X is now the number one news app on the App Store in South Africa.
Elon said, ironic. Dan O'Dowd, remember Dan? He said 5 things Elon Musk did this week. Monday, didn't launch rocket. Tuesday, didn't launch rocket. Wednesday, didn't launch rocket. Thursday, set off huge fireworks display for the Caribbean. Friday, explained to U.S. taxpayers why they're spending billions on fireworks displays for other countries.
Except that it's not a government-funded rocket,
no.
Dan. Also, what did you do this week? Monday, did not launch rocket. Tuesday, I mean, what the Oh, I didn't launch a rocket. What are you, some kind of loser? And Elon posted, the new X account that is getting everyone's attention, I find records.
Elon posted, do you support Doge reducing government waste and fraud? No, yes, or super yes. So that's 81.1% of yes or super yes and 18.9% no. And then Elon just posted, look up at the stars, which is so important. So clearly the other night I looked up. I think I saw Venus. Mm. Beautiful.
The moon was too bright, as it usually is.
After it said it wasn't.
Well. You know, when it's in the first quarter, it's tough. Little moon humor for you.
Do you have like an astronomy support group? Oh, it's first quarter moon again. The Persistence posted, wow, the U.S. debt clock has now been updated to not only include Doge, but also savings per taxpayer.
Elon said it's a start.
Angela Balcomino says, if you called Elon Musk a Nazi, you must call Bill Nye one also. I didn't make the rules. The woke left did.
Science.
And Elon said, yeah. Now, argument here is not that anyone who's reasonable is saying that Bill Nye is a Nazi, because I don't think that he is.
No.
It's just that neither is Elon Musk.
Elon posted, an investigation has found 5 ActBlue-funded groups responsible for Tesla protests, Troublemakers, Disruption Project, Rise and Resist, Indivisible Project, and Democratic Socialists of America. ActBlue funders include George Soros, Reid Hoffman, Herbert Sandler, Patricia Bowman, and Leah Hunt Hendricks. ActBlue is currently under investigation for allowing foreign and illegal donations in criminal violation of campaign finance regulations. This week, 7 ActBlue senior officials resigned, including the Associate General Counsel. If you know anything about this, please post in replies. Thanks, Elon. And boy, did a lot of people post stuff in the replies. Eric Schmidt said, how big will the ActBlue scandal be? And Elon said,
massive.
May Musk said, people who are damaging Tesla cars, stores, and charging stations are either paid for their criminal acts or believe the liberal media lies and should be tagged with I find retards. I'm beyond furious.
Elon said, it's organized by radical left activists.
Elon posted this meme. Aren't you a right-wing extremist?
Nope, just a Democrat from 20 years ago.
Elon said, that's me 100%. KY3 News posted, unions ask court to stop Doge from accessing Social Security data of millions of Americans.
Why would they want to do that?
Well, as Jeff Carlson said, there's one obvious reason why the unions might be doing this. Massive Social Security fraud with fake employee dues flowing into union coffers and being used for political contributions in the process.
And Elon said exactly.
Mm-hmm. Defiant L's posted this from France. Activists scream, Heil Donald Trump, Heil Vladimir Putin, Heil Elon Musk, while doing a Nazi salute.
And Elon said 5 out of 10.
Insurrection Barbie says if we eliminated NGOs, like 70% of our problems would disappear.
Elon said, great idea.
Elon posted total completion costs of the Tesla Cortex 1 AI training cluster will be about $5 billion.
Wow.
$5 billion.
Wow.
Elon posted place sanctions on the top 10 Ukrainian oligarchs, especially the ones with mansions in Monaco, and this will stop immediately. This is the key to the puzzle. And Elon said, I literally challenged Putin to one-on-one physical combat over Ukraine, and my Starlink system is the backbone of the Ukrainian army. Their entire front line would collapse if I turned it off. What I am sickened by is years of slaughter in a stalemate that Ukraine will inevitably lose. Anyone who really cares, really thinks, and really understands wants the meat grinder to stop. Peace now.
Good point. He has been backing the Ukrainians quite a bit.
And Ian Jagger says, in 2010, Senator Elizabeth Warren wanted to uncover how money disappeared, saying they needed to be criminal investigations. Today, she vehemently opposes DOGE uncovering wasteful government spending. What changed, Senator?
Elon said she got paid off.
And Elon said, heartfelt thanks to everyone supporting Tesla despite many attacks against our stores and offices. Eva Fox says, when the news of Russia's attacks on Ukraine first appeared, Elon immediately began organizing the delivery of Starlinks to Ukraine. This was instantaneous, even before the Ukrainian government launched a massive effort in the hopes of receiving Starlinks. Elon is on the side of the Ukrainian people. I know it.
Elon said exactly, to be extremely clear, no matter how much I disagree with the Ukrainian policy, Starlink will never turn off its terminals. I am simply stating that without Starlink, the Ukrainian lines would collapse as the Russians can jam all other communications. We would never do such a thing or use it as a bargaining chip.
Mario Nafal posted, court unleashes DOGE, Elon gets access to federal treasury data.
Elon says, there's a lot of shady stuff happening.
Amuse says, rumor, there are reports Elon Musk is traveling to Romania on April 4th. I would like to lodge my objection to the visit. The U.S. can't afford to lose him, and Romania has proven is not a democratic country. Don't go, Elon.
Elon says, probably wise for me to prioritize security given these crazy times. Am staying in America unless the president requests that I travel internationally.
Elon says, yeah, why are liberals so violent? Legacy media propaganda is a major part of the problem. And then this really cool quote from Robert Heinlein, the science fiction author, being right too soon is socially unacceptable.
And Elon said, so true.
All right, time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
Yeah, don't forget, send your photos, videos, stories to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. What do we got this week?
Frank saw this parking lot full of Model Ys in Southampton, UK. So I think they just got off the boat and they're going to be delivered to customers.
Nice.
So Southampton is a big port.
Albert spotted this new Model Y out in the wild in Lathrop, California.
They're already out there.
Mm-hmm.
Steve spotted the Cybertruck with a Bolus travel trailer at the Crescent Bay Campground near Amboy, Washington.
That looks really aerodynamic.
Mm.
Frank saw these Model Ys from Grünheind, and check out the last one on the back.
It's a new one.
Wow. I still can't believe they got him out that fast.
I know. Jedry was at the World AI Festival in Cannes and spotted the Model Y and Optimus.
Wow. I didn't realize it really had the red button in the back. I thought Elon, I mean, I knew there'd be a button, but I didn't know.
Big red button.
Where's the big red button?
Han spotted a Hummer EV and an Apocalypse 6x6.
What is that?
It's a custom built six-wheeled truck. And just in case you're wondering, yes, it is a custom truck with a custom engine, but the Hummer has more horsepower and it costs less. But the Apocalypse does have six wheels, which of course is always better than four.
Which means a lot more tire cost.
Of course.
Suzanne spotted the ever elusive Subaru Solterra in Lake Frederick, Virginia. Yeah, I've only seen like three.
I think it's the same one over and over.
Maybe. All right, paint it white now.
And speaking of rare EVs, Brian spotted this ID Buzz in Washington.
Yeah, why is it rare though? I thought everyone wanted one. Kevin spotted this VinFast in Lexington, Kentucky. Also kind of rare.
Mm-hmm. Brian spotted this EV Hummer parked at the supercharger.
Hey, they put the charger in the right spot.
Yep. And 2 minutes later, a Cybertruck showed up.
Joshua spotted this Toyota Mirai in Paris.
So that car is part of Hype, which is the largest fuel cell fleet in the world. It has a partnership with Toyota, and it has a partnership with Air Liquide. Which is a French natural gas company, which is where they get most of the hydrogen through steam, whatever, which releases CO2 into
the air. How big is the fleet? Like three cars?
It's in the couple dozen. Julia spotted this custom-wrapped Rivian at a car show.
Team Venom Racing. Neat. Neil's neighbor just added a Rivian to his growing EV fleet.
Dave spotted a Rivian van in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Max spotted this Lucid in Tucson, Arizona.
And Tom spotted this Cybertruck with a bed shell in San Luis Obispo, California.
That looks cool.
It does. It makes the whole thing look like a big van.
Yeah.
It doesn't look as good as I thought it would. It looks neat.
It's cool.
It's cool because now you get to put more stuff in the back.
Yeah.
And now you have a flat spot where they put a fold-out tent.
That's really
which
cool.
Which is kind of cool.
All right, before we go to Supercharger reviews, it's time for beautiful Superchargers. Now, you may not think this looks beautiful. It doesn't. It's a smoky Supercharger location near us in Littleton, Mass. And that is because vandals lit it on fire on March 3rd, and Tesla Charging tweeted, "No customers were charging at the time of the fire. Posts and wire will be replaced in less than 48 hours. Critical infrastructure for EV drivers. Arson investigation ongoing with the Littleton, Massachusetts Police Department." And then 48 hours later, Tesla had it fully repaired.
48 hours, they replaced every single Supercharger stall?
Yeah, I mean, and they were burned to the ground.
Yeah.
And look, I know that area. There's a lot of cameras, I think, over there. So let's catch these guys, shall we?
It's next to an urgent care.
I know.
Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Weird. Weird.
And of course, Tesla came back and said, "Posts, fuses, wires replaced, cabinets inspected, transformer re-energized, we're back online." And Elon said,
"Two rocket ships."
Yeah. It must be cool to be on the Tesla Supercharger team and be like, "Not just one rocket ship, it was two rocket ships." All right, it's time for Supercharger reviews. Let's see what people have found out there in the world.
Zach and Jesse, this is David, and I'm reporting from Bishop, California. And I'm not here in my Tesla Model 3 today. I'm actually in that bus in the background. But I am did stop by here to take a look at this new Supercharger install version 3. It looks like there's 14 Superchargers. There's 12 on this side and then 2 on the other side. There's no restaurants really close by. However, it's only one block out of a 395, and there's a plethora of restaurants and shops very, very close by. So I would give this probably 8 out of 10, just because you got to walk a little bit to get to restrooms and restaurants, but very nice location. And it's good to have this here because it's going to be very, very busy. Thank you.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. So I am in Ipswich in the UK, and we have a 12 stall, a version 4 Supercharger. It's in a retail park, which has plenty of amenities. There's food, there's KFC, there's a Range DIY store, there's a Carpet Right store, there's Smith's, Dunelm, you know, a bunch of stuff. Burger King over there. What's the other one? There's an Asda supermarket. Loads and loads of shops around here. A Tim Hortons, they're quite nice. It's a Canadian place. A little payment bit there for non-Teslas, I think. Great, CCS. What we have in the UK. And ones that you're back into. Someone's going to knock one of these eventually. So I don't know how long I'll be before. So they're not protected by a lock. I don't know how long I'll be before someone knocks into it and not looks at their rear cameras properly. But bit of a design fault, because it's only going to be a matter of time before someone knocks into it and damages the chargers. Yeah, I'll give this 9 out of 10 because there's plenty to do around here. And we desperately needed one in this area because there's a bit of a gap. So there you go. Back to you, it's Zach and Jesse. Hi.
What's up, Zach and Jesse? I'm here in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and I got some new 250s here. Not many of them, but we needed them up here pretty bad. And we are charging at a Festival Foods. Besides it being 40 degrees, I would rate this place a 7 out of 10. See you guys.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. My name is John Lee. I organize the Southern Utah All Vehicles Electric Rally. We are SWAV. Our rally travels on Utah's famously beautiful Highway 12 through the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument between Bryce Canyon National Park and Keppel Reef National Park. I organize the rally to bring attention to the need for superchargers near our beautiful national parks. While this 16-stall V3 charging location in Richfield, Utah is not technically in a gateway community, you can travel 40 miles east to Capitol Reef National Park or 100 miles south to Bryce Canyon National Park. The pull-through stall here is convenient for people pulling trailers. The island configuration has 4 stalls on corners, which should make it easier for our soon-to-be CCS charging friends, and has a Wendy's fast food restaurant, a convenience store with clean bathrooms, Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, a steakhouse just behind me, and 3 nearby hotels. I would give this location an 8 out of 10, only because it's missing solar canopies over the charge stalls and magic dock ports for our soon-to-be CCS charging friends.
Thank you so much for doing Supercharger reviews. If you want to, you can upload them to our website. You can also find all the Superchargers on the website. Just so you know, when you do upload them, we're not going to like put them out the next week. There's a huge backlog and there's a whole bunch of work that our amazing editors do to get the Supercharger reviews ready for each show. But we will get to them eventually. So that's really fun.
Right. All right. What do we got for new Superchargers in the world?
We got number 215 in France is the 16 stall version 4 in Villebon-sur-Yvette, France. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I give that a 9 out of 10. I think that was it. 12-stall version 3 in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Number 73 in Washington is the 12-stall version 4 in Richland, Washington.
We got the expansion from 8 to 16 stalls version 3 and 4 in Salamanca, Spain.
Number 93 in Italy is the 6-stall version 4 in Mercato San Serafinos, Italy.
We have the 14-stall version 3 and 4 in Gramschatzerwald, Germany.
Number 2,199 in China is the 3-stall version 3 in Yan'an, China.
Number 238 in Canada is the 20-stall version 3 in Abbotsford, Canada, British Columbia.
Number 18 in Kentucky is the 8-stall version 4 in Frankfort, Kentucky.
Number 28 in Thailand is the 4-stall version 3 in Nakhon Ratchasima, Thailand.
Number 248 in Germany is the 8-stall version 4 in Ringsheim, Germany.
Number 86 in Hong Kong is the 4-stall in Causeway Bay.
An expansion from 8 to 48 stalls version 3 and 4 in Arroyo Grande, California.
That must have helped this week. 8-stall version 4 in San Jose, California.
An expansion from 16 to 24 stalls version 3s and 4s in Mantova, Italy.
Number 67 in Georgia, the 16-stall version 4 in Atlanta on Roswell Road.
Number 186 in Florida is the 8-stall version 4 in St. Petersburg, Florida.
And number 539 in California, number 2576 in the USA, number 7099 in the world is the 16-stall version 4 in San Diego on Claremont Mesa Boulevard, California.
Wow. A lot of Superchargers.
I know. And according to our poll, it means that more and more people are happier and happier about, 91%.
Pretty good.
Said that it's getting better.
I mean, it makes sense. If you had one Supercharger, now there's two, it is better. Yeah. So it's nice with a two-dimensional map.
Yeah.
It's
good. No, but there was all this fear that as we added more EVs to the Supercharger, network, that it would get worse and worse. And at least according to our patrons, it's not. So that's really good data.
That is really good data.
And thank you so much for watching, everybody. I'm super excited that we're going to have our new Now We Build YouTube channel launching this month. So stay tuned for that because the channel's up there, but there's no videos on it. But I think our first one's going to be landing this month. And I'm just so excited to be working on these projects with you. So many cool projects that would have never been possible before without AI, without solar, without batteries. Like, this is some fun stuff. Our first one's a very woodworking project, but it's cool because you can do it almost for free.
Yeah. And I think the cool part about Now We Build is that we're going to be mixing in so many skills that for the longest time have been so impossible to get started on, that in just the past few years have, either the tools have come down in price or the ability to learn these skills have become more commonplace, and starts to get really, really exciting with what you as kind of the average person can accomplish. And we want to kind of show you what you're going to be able to do.
Yeah. So thank you so much for supporting us. We'll see you over on Patreon this week. Now you know.